entertainment, auto services, plus thousands of other items. To participate on the Radio Shopping Show, simply call area code 847-931-1410. 931-1410. Questions about various merchandise and how to shop with us are welcome as well. Or go to our website, www.wrmn1410.com. Now, let's save money with the Radio Shopping Show.
And welcome to the Radio Shopping Show. 847-931-1410 is the number to call. 847-931-1410. I do have a correction. During Tradio, I mentioned St. Lawrence Church has canceled their First Communion classes. It's their First Communion parent meeting has been canceled for tonight. First Communion classes are still on, but the First Communion parent meeting for tonight has been canceled. And by the way, bingo has still been canceled, just to let you know, with the Elgin VFW. And bingo, by the way, has been canceled. Wait. Bingo's been canceled for just the parents at the Elgin VFW? Maybe? I don't know. 847-931-1410. Speaking of parents, mom and dad, or maybe a lipstick mom, on the phone line, on the hotline with me, and it is a headliner, comedy club headliner in colleges all over the United States, Canada, Europe. Patty Vasquez has written and performed 3 hit solo shows for theater audiences. Funny happens, and it always happens when comedian Patty Vasquez is around. You don't have to take our word for it either. Lewis Black says Patty is simply marvelous. Bill Maher calls her the funniest woman in comedy since Carol Burnett. That's a feat. And with us tonight is Patty Vasquez, who is going to be appearing at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center this Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And Patty, welcome to the Radio Shopping Show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
Wow, that's great. I like that intro. I think I'm going to take you with me everywhere I go. And if you could do that for me, it makes me feel good.
That's what I'm here for, to make people feel good. So and especially to make you, just you. I've been waiting all night to say that intro, and I was afraid.
Can I tell you something? You are very generous in allowing me to come. If I were you, I'd be like, too bad you lost out. So thank you so much for being so understanding.
No problem. No, hey, you know what? You're the funniest woman since Carol Burnett. How can you live? How can you live up to that? First of all, you know who Carol Burnett is, right, Patty?
Nice. Yes, I have an idea. I have a vague idea. Something with a curtains and a curtain rod and a Scarlett O'Hara impression. Something.
Hey, have you ever thought about taking your doing what Carol Burnett does and do a variety show on TV, Patty?
Well, that would be a blast. I mean, you know, part of what I do is kind of doing comedy from Chicago and traveling all over the country and the world, doing what I do, and to do something like that, I would have to be in Hollywood. But I like Chicago. I love my city. So I have different aspirations, is to do my comedy the best I can from here.
Now, okay, how do you incorporate, you incorporate motherhood, relationships, pop culture, which, any comedian incorporating, you know, pop culture, sometimes I think comedians do live in a bubble, and they do the same thing over and over again, and, you know, usually involves things that have no meaning to me, but pop culture definitely, you know, you make exact references, and you're there.
The thing is that like with Kim Kardashian and Fergie, like I thought I was done having kids, but if Kim Kardashian and Fergie for Delicious on having babies, I might have to get pregnant again just to restore balance to the universe, because I don't know that they should be moms. I really don't.
Well, you would never think about hooking up with Kanye West then, Patty?
Oh, ew, I just got a little sick. Can you imagine?
Patty West. That actually sounds got a lot. That sounds good. Not that Vasquez is not a bad name, but you know, Patty West. Patty West could be a country singer, a country western singer too.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, she's not even divorced yet, I don't think. You know, I mean, like, how do you explain that to your kids? So this is what I did. I got married to somebody else who's not your daddy, and we only were married for 71 days, and it was all for television, and then somebody else paid for my wedding, and I was already rich anyway, because my daddy was the lawyer on the O.J. Simpson trial, and then my mom got married to Bruce Jenner, and it's a really long story, but we lived the whole thing on television. But then I got pregnant from this other man who's a total narcissist. I don't know how you explain that to anybody, much less your own child.
Oh, in about 10 years, this child will be going, I found my perfect role model. You know that, so...
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what a twisted childhood.
So now you motherhood. What is going on in motherhood that makes it? What? How do you find the comedy in motherhood, Patty? Because I certainly don't as a dad.
Well, my husband is a stay-at-home dad, which is what we say instead of unemployed. Mm-hmm. It just sounds better. It does. If I say stay at home dad, everyone's like, oh, she got a good one. If I say unemployed, they're like, ooh, that's a shame. Are you staying with him? and so he actually makes motherhood much easier for me because he is responsible for the house, which means that I have to lower my expectations of how I expect my house to look. Because when I come home off the road and I'm like, the floors are sticky, I'm going to pretend it's apple juice, and that's something more horrifying.
Oh, by the way, I need to ask you right now, yes. Are you calling from a payphone?
That's what exactly, with a million quarters. I've been on hold since last night. I promise that I would be ready and waiting for you.
Patty, I wasn't going to ask you that. Super Dave asked me that, to ask you that. So just let you know. So, and I would love to know how you found actually a payphone that was still around.
You know what? There's actually one at the corner in Edgebrook. There's one at the corner of Devon and Central. So there you go.
You're in Edgebrook. Wow. Is that where you're located at right now, or is that just where you found a payphone?
That is where I found a payphone. I drove around in the snow and everything.
Edgebrook is where I grew up. So that's how I was like,
really?
Well, yes. I grew up I grew up on the clean side of Chicago in like Lincolnwood. So around the Lincolnwood Edgebrook area. So
in Lincolnwood now, but no. So were you in Edgebrook? Well, it's actually kind of Saugerash too, isn't it?
Saugerash. It's Devon, right near. You're right near Superdog, right?
Yeah, not far. That's in Devon and Milwaukee. Yeah, that's right down right through the Fourth Dessert.
Now, is this where you grew up, or what part of Chicago did you grow up at, Patty?
Yes, I grew up in Norwood Park. I actually grew up on the other side of the tracks in the very wealthy, beautiful houses in Old Norwood Park, where there's a lot of beautiful mansions, and there's actually a lot of working class, folks living in there. There's the bungalows and some nice houses, but there are some mansions in there too that date all the way back to the early 1900s. But I grew up above a bank. So a one-bedroom apartment where I shared a bunk bed with my dad. There you go.
Wow. Boom, boom.
It's true. My mom did not want either one of us in the bedroom, and so my dad and I had a bunk bed in the dining room. We had a one-bedroom, 600 square feet. I went back and I measured one day.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
By the way, I'm talking with Patty Vasquez, yes, who's going to be at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, probably like a stone's throw away from where you're at right now. Well, maybe about 20, maybe about 30 minutes. In this weather.
Depends on how the snow is, right?
Depending on how the snow is. It's still going to be going on, right? You're still going to be there tomorrow.
Of course. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Wasn't sure just because, they're expecting Noah's got his park on, I guess. So
we're going to be at just like blown away by all the snow.
That's right.
They're riding it out. Well, I have our toboggans out. Do you have your toboggan ready? And the sled dogs.
Now, I have a question. Did you see the Oscars Sunday?
I did.
What did you think? There's been talk about being unfair to women, and I think you know some women. Did you think it was unfair to women?
Do I think it was unfair to women?
Yeah.
In what sense?
With the song that I guess just from articles I've been reading, I didn't think so. But what Seth MacFarlane's song and just a whole bunch of other jokes that were aimed toward women and doing the Botox and plastic surgery and everything. It was like, on one end, some feminists, I don't think, like the boob song. I'm going to say it right
there. Well, I think that there was some fair play. I mean, like, he also made fun of Mel Gibson for being a racist and Chris Brown for being an abuser. I think that there seemed to be an even-handedness to spreading out the comedy and the sarcasm and the parody. Yeah. I mean, the boob song I thought was a little interesting, a little bit weird. There was, because I flinched when he said, Jodie Foster, we saw your boobs in The Accused. That's the only thing where I kind of flinched, because in that movie, she was a victim of rape.
Yep.
And that was weird. That was a weird moment,
But here's the thing, when you hire Seth MacFarlane, and I don't want to get this on a, if you've ever seen Family Guy, they go there. So.
Right. You're right, and I don't think he pulled any punches on anybody. I do not know. I mean, like, oh my God, who's whining? No whining. That just makes us look crazier. That's the problem with that.
But I'll
tell you, we can take.
He could belt out a song too. He was his voice was wonderful. So
wasn't that great? I loved his voice. I thought it was like butter, darling. It was like butter. It was fantastic. Loved him.
So in about next year or maybe in 2 years, if the Academy offered you the hosting role, would you take it?
Of course I would. Oh my God. That's every comedian's dream come true, I would think.
Now, what is your favorite? What is your let's talk about pop culture. What are your favorite movies? What did you think of the awards of Argo? Did you see Argo and all the other awards?
I did. I loved Argo. I mean, what a bizarre thing to sort of have this romp, you know, going on with trying to get hostages out of Iran. You know what I mean? But you throw Alan Arkin into the mix and sort of, all, you know, I really enjoyed that movie. I mean, and it was interesting that they went with Argo and it got more awards than Zero Dark 30, didn't you think? You know, because there was all that controversy about, you know, whether or not we should use, you know, coercion.
Torture, yeah.
Torture, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting that there are these two CIA movies. And it maybe distance and time from what happened in Iran was probably easier and a little bit you know, kind of more consumable and more enjoyable than watching what was more immediate and painful. Don't you think? Does that make sense?
So you're saying in about 30 years, the Osama bin Laden movie will be a hit with the Academy.
Yes, I think it'll win the Best Picture. Yes, they just wait a little longer. No, I mean Zero Dark Thirty is a good movie. But I like Zero. I like Silver Lining also. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah, I don't know. And Les Mis. I mean, like, I was surprised that Les Mis didn't get more awards. But I know people don't like the musicals either.
No.
At least, no. Now, I would get the feeling that you would not enjoy that or did not.
I didn't see it, to be honest. So, but I've heard, and again, I give Russell Crowe plenty of kudos because he got a lot of, like, scalping for his part in Les Mis, and yet when it came into live production, he came out singing, you know, even though it was adequate, he came out. So I give Russell Crowe his kudos for coming out after for Les Mis during the Academy, the awards.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you gotta give them their hands and the thumbs up for that kind of performance.
Okay, now let's go back to Lipstick Mom. By the way, does this have anything to do with Sarah Palin, or is that my just
a little bit? I think that because I was kind of intrigued by how she was able to use motherhood as this very powerful image, but it also comes from people telling me, you know, oh, you have two kids. Wow, you look good for having two kids, as though having children is some sort of horribly disfiguring accident or something. You know, can they say it the same way, like, oh, you put your face right through the windshield? You look good for doing that. It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of sexy, and it's a little bit of, you know, the sort of hardships that you do have as a mom, because, you know, it is hard to kind of keep that confidence going when you kind of feel like everything's out of control. You know, you have to take a time for yourself. It's about taking care of yourself and about, you know, putting your best foot forward once in a while. And, yeah, sometimes wearing just yoga pants and a ponytail, whatever it takes to get through the day.
Now, you also bring up relationships in this, in your Lipstick Mom.
Yeah.
What relationship are you talking about, before your husband or courting your husband?
Everything. I mean, look, you know, they always say that you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you meet your prince.
Yes.
The problem is they never mention all the asses and the dogs along the way, ever. And I really think that dating is like gambling, don't you think? Because you either get a jackpot or you get a crackpot, and there's nothing in between. I can remember, I mean, I don't know how many relationships you had, you know, in your life, but I can remember when some of my relationships ended. Like, I had a guy in college who I asked, hey, how do I look in this? And he said, well, if you don't feel good about yourself, why don't you work out more often? And I was like, God, no, I cannot. This is not going to be how the rest of my life plays out. And by the way, yes, guys, that is the wrong thing to say. Also, a few times around the block wouldn't hurt you. Bad to say.
So no improvement necessary is the right answer.
Well, and here's the thing. I've actually given my husband, I've given him flashcards so he knows what to say. Because it's not always about how I look. When I say, how do I look in this?
Yes.
Yeah, he was once in a while, he'll say, you have other outfits I like more than that. It's not the most flattering thing on you. I'll take that because it's not specific. It's not like it shows your back fat. He's not saying that, right?
Right.
So you know, I think general terms work, but sometimes I need something on an emotional level, something more than how I look. I need something that touches my soul. So once in a while, he will say, oh, my God, you're amazing. I'm so lucky to have you in my life. I can't believe you're still with me. You make me want to be a better man. That works for me, too.
Wow.
Are you writing that down?
I'm writing it down right now. I'm writing it down, ironically, I'm on my flash drive. So I'm going to write it down there. It's a little smaller, but we'll have to fit in. Is it now, is there, you've done, this is your fifth solo, is it a mini play? How would your solo show?
it's storytelling with a theme. You know what I mean? So like Pregnant Party Girl, I was pregnant actually, and talked about what the, that change I had to make from being this party girl and staying out until the last call and then getting married, getting pregnant and all that stuff. And then Mamacita was about going through, you know, the pregnancies and having a child and breastfeeding and changing diapers. And look, the reason I do that, I call it Mamacita, is so that when an audience comes, they know what they're going to see. So guys are like, oh, I don't want to hear about this, you know? And there are people who want to hear those stories and identify with them. Tequila and Shamrocks was about growing up Irish and Mexican on the northwest side of Chicago, and I had a lot of stories about that. And then this one's, you know, kind of all of it.
Now, does anything repeat in all four of them? Is there any jokes or any stories that you repeat in all four? Is it all fresh material?
That's a good question. Well, Pregnant Party Girl was almost all fresh material. Tequila and Shamrocks might have had. Yeah, there's a few things that I do so that because there are stories about my, because I also have a son with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
My younger son, Declan, has autism. And I, since I weave that through, and I want it to be, I want it to be stories that people can, you know, that aren't too hard to digest. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know. Well, you mentioned that. You mentioned that, and I'm getting, I don't want to say creeped out. I'm just getting a little uncomfortable when you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Is it about? Have you been
right.
criticized for ever? Ever got any criticism for? Taking on like a comedic level and dealing
well,
with your son.
Isn't that interesting? I don't know if you've been to a comedy club, but the kinds of topics that other comics do, you know, the way they like to have sex and things like that is somehow on limits. But you know, talking about having a child with a disability is off limits. Ooh, don't talk about that. My take is generally it's about how people are rude. You know, that they'll say, oh, he's such a big boy still in a stroller. Shouldn't your son be running around? He's such a big boy to still be in a stroller. Shouldn't you let him run around? How old is your son? I'm like, what are you talking about? That's my husband. You know, see, and that's how I let you off the hook. And that's a true story. I got so tired of people because people, the reason why women ask another mom with a child who is clearly, has something that they're dealing with, they always ask, how old is he? So that they can kind of like start a conversation. Cause and they're also comparing like their children. And it's their way of going, oh, I'm doing so much better than that. So I got tired of being asked that question. I just started saying it was my husband, you know, deal with it.
And you deal with a sense of humor.
Exactly. You know, I had a woman who was like, you know, does your son talk? I've been watching him for a while and you should really have him evaluated for that. And I said, well, you know, he's got speech therapy. He has autism. And just so you know, just because you can talk doesn't mean you should. So why don't we look into that? So that's,
ouch.
And so it's not more than that. It's not making fun of autism. It's not making fun of my son.
No.
I think people get nervous that I'll talk about things like that. But no, that's really the, so those stories I use because they are the best way to sort of let people know what my experiences are like.
And you know what? A theater like the Metropolis Theater is a wonderful venue to say that. And it's, again, because I've been to the Metropolis before. In fact, a friend of mine actually got married on the stage at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. So, which was
how cool is that?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was just very, very cool. And of course, he was, you know, he ran the theater at the time. But again, I can imagine then doing. It's very, it's a very comfortable setting there at the Metropolis,
yeah.
Intimate, and so perfect setting. And that way, and again, from what you've been telling, from what you've been saying on here, I don't think I'm going to get. I don't, you know, unless it's just myself, I don't think I'm going to get that uncomfortable with the material, with your material.
Right.
And
yeah,
again, as long as
no.
you take it from, you know, tongue firmly in cheek. So.
Exactly. It's all, I try to make everything as relatable as authentic, you know, because it is, it's my storytelling. I'm not, like my jokes aren't, I have a few, you know, I actually have a greeting card. On the front it says, the creator of Spanx is a billionaire. And on the inside it says, of course she is, because bacon and donuts are delicious. And, you know, so I do have some jokes, and that works for, you know, on different levels. But for the most part, it's storytelling. And for this, I will be telling about, you know, the story about getting pregnant, a little bit of Mamacita, a little bit of Pregnant Party Girl. But, you know, since I've had so many experiences since then, in a totally different way. I rarely do the same show twice in general. I might have similar topics,
yeah.
But I always try to add something new, a fresh take on it, a twist. I even had someone in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, tell me that they were like, oh, yeah, no, you started talking about the doctor's office, and I thought you were going to say this, and you had a whole different story. So I try to make things that people remember, but then realize, that, oh, wait, this is totally different.
Do you try out your material before you actually go on stage? You go to, like, Zany's or any other, like, comedy clubs, like, on off nights, just to try the material, make sure that everything's, you know, kosher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. yeah, I do. I go and I do guest sets at Zany's. And I also, you know, what I generally do in a headlining set is I'll weave in the material that I'm working on for the bigger shows. So the hour, cause this will be an hour and a half show.
Yes.
So I go and I kind of, you know, and it is different in a comedy club because you've got the wait staff, you've got your, you know, your drinks are being served. In the theater, you know, you can take your time with a story. There isn't that sense of urgency. There isn't that, like, you know, checks are going to be dropped any second now. So I can take my time.
That's, by the way, that's coming up. It's coming up tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. You can go see Patty Vasquez in Lipstick Mom. Before I let you go, talk a little bit about the show on Oprah's network. What is that all about? Tell me a little bit about that show.
Yes, we premiered a show called My Life is a Joke. It's a reality series that follows five women who are comics in Chicago. Four of us are stand-ups. One is a sketch comic from Second City. And it's our journey of, you know, trying to get our big break. There's three girls who are kind of starting. They're younger than me. They've been doing comedy between 2 and 6 years.
Do you ever lock their dressing room doors or anything and just like say, I have no idea where they are. That's just, you know, right? Just focus on me. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm called, I'm called the den mother on the show, which I think is code for oldest one here.
Yeah.
It's much more about being supportive because here's my thing about comedy. You know, there's a lot of people who will, it's not a very tight knit community because everyone's kind of vying. They all think of each other as competition. It's a very independent, business. And I don't see it that way. I just don't. I mean, everyone's got a different voice. And, you know, you might have that particular take on life that a network might want or a TV show might want or whatever it is, a comedy club. You know, you bring your best, you put your best material out there and you do the hard work and what you're supposed to get will come. So I don't think of it as being that competitive, and believe me, that's taken me over a decade to get to.
When is this on? When is this My Life is a Joke? When is this on OWN?
We premiered in January with what's called a sneak peek. And so we will go to regular schedule. Usually what they do is they roll out their new shows for the upcoming season. So I think that we're scheduled to be airing in the late spring into the summer for that part of their schedule.
Gotcha. Now, but
you can go to my website and there are clips from the series.
And your website is
lipstickmom.com.
Lipstickmom.com. For more information about Patty, wherever she's going to be at, her more information about the show, My Life is a Joke, and her one-woman show, Lipstick Mom, tomorrow night at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center at 7:30 p.m., and tickets still available for the Metropolis, Patty, for tomorrow night?
There are a few. I am really thrilled to say that the tickets are going fast. Last I heard, it's very cool. So please, I'd love to see you tomorrow. And we'll be doing it again, I hope, in the near future at the Arlington Metropolis.
Well, I'm sure your quarters are running out. So from your phone, I hope you found like a phone that was like a payphone that has actually a phone booth.
Right, like a little awning. I brought an umbrella for the snow.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. It's probably like 2 feet of snow right on your umbrella. So, Patty, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on the radio show.
No. I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you for being so kind to let me come back on after I messed up so horribly yesterday. Thank you so much.
Look, I've had to deal with Super Dave. You know, these things that you did yesterday, no problem. It's like, you know, it's like snow on the ground. So it happens almost... It happens almost like 3 or 4 times a year here in Chicago.
No,
so.
You don't deserve that. I apologize. Thank you.
Before I let you go, who's your comic inspirations? Who inspired you to become a comic?
I would say George Carlin and Richard Pryor were my favorite comics when I was a kid. And even though, that kind of tells you that I grew up on raunchy comedy. But I would say Ellen when I was a little bit older.
Yeah.
I like the silliness that she has. But Pryor and Carlin. You know, I really like their. You always knew where they stood on things.
And they were great moms themselves. So
exactly.
That's right. All right. Well, Patty, thank you very much. Appreciate you being on the Radio Shopping Show. And we'll have everyone head out there. Come rain, shine, snow. You're going to be in Arlington Heights tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. Patty, take care of yourself and be good. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we'll talk to you later down the road.
Thank you, and I'll be pumped.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. All right, Patty Vasquez is going to be at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center tomorrow night. By the way, the snow is going to stop. And Metropolis is in Arlington Heights. It's right off on Dunton Road and Dunton Northwest Highway. And Lipstick Mom. And we also have tickets still available at the Radio Shopping Show. Patty, thank you very much. And let's...
Inside the Vatican. Two men wearing white inside the Vatican. The Vatican insists that there should be no problem. It will be very clear that as of 8 p.m. on Thursday, Benedict resigns. A new pope will be elected by a conclave. It should be crystal clear.
Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe has vetoed a bill that will ban most abortions in the state at 20 weeks into a pregnancy. The Democratic governor said in a statement Tuesday he had concerns about the measure's constitutionality and potential cost. The bill passed by the Republican-controlled legislature is based on the belief that a fetus can feel pain at 20 weeks. It includes exemptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Lawmakers can't override Beebe's veto with a simple majority. With IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Hello, Snowy Elgin. This is Alan Skillicorn, the right half of Left, Right, and You. And I believe we have the left half of Left, Right, and You at a remote location. Are you in the bunker, Jeff?
Yes, I'm in the bunker expecting the apocalypse. I think Republicans are finally going to take over, and I felt it was safer to do the show this way.
That, you know, it is, and I had a chance to drive over here, and Dave and me were chit-chatting before the show began, and it is pretty snowy out there.
It's the problem is the base layer is just pure muck. And so as I drove,
are you talking about the weather or politics?
Both.
Okay.
As I drove home, I mean, I'm like, oh, I'm going sideways on Randall Road. That's kind of cute. And that's when I decided that perhaps the better part of valor was phoning it in. But as you know, you and I never phone it in. So you'll get 110% of me.
That's
as
weird because Jeff lives right across the street from the radio station, so I don't get that. So
It's a really long walk, Dave, and it's cold out.
I guess so.
It's those stairs, you know, up to the station.
They are killers. Yes, they are.
And for everyone that's listening out there, and if you're listening on the podcast, today is a February 26th, 2012. And, you know, here in Elgin.
2013.
It's what?
2013.
Oh, you caught me. 2013.
I was going to say.
That's my first mistake of the year.
Have the Mayans come back?
Okay. Well, it's snowing out. So if you're, you know, and there's also some of our listeners aren't here in Chicago area. You know, some of our listeners are on the East Coast and the West Coast, and they also can listen to podcasts. They may not know that, you know, we're expecting something between 5 and 9 inches today, and it's coming down really fast and heavy. It's fun out there.
In Geneva, it's slowed down a little bit, but the radar does not bode well for the future.
And
today's election day, Alan.
I was just going to point out that it's election day.
And God bless all those people that have, and, you know, they have made it to the Gail Borden Library and the American Legion Center. And I forget the name of the church on Highland Avenue, but that was... quite a few people are managing to get out, but Elgin, come on, Elgin, make Alan and I proud. The city where we chose to, you know, expound our brilliance upon, make us proud and get out there and vote, even if you have to walk there.
You got it. And I also want to just a shout out to the people that are election judges and some of those officials.
God.
You know, those people are going to be stuck there until 7 p.m. today, no matter what.
No matter what.
So,
right.
even if they need to shovel their driveway or whatever, they're actually working the polls. And I can understand where some people are heading home. You know, some of our listeners are sitting at home already, but some of them might be at work right now. And what I suggest, if you're listening on the radio at work, which means you live close enough to get the WRM coverage, which means you're going to be, you know, in the northwest suburbs here, I would suggest that you ask your boss to go home a little early, listen to us in the car on your way to the polling place, and then go straight home.
Yep. And
even if it is sideways.
Because
you're home sideways?
Something's happening, man. No, my thankfully... You know, my home has not budged from its foundation.
And I also want to point out, and I'm sure you know about this, Jeff, is this is a great way to reinforce people should vote early. You know,
absolutely.
In Kane County, we had hundreds of people that went early to vote.
Yep.
And, you know, that's something that can be done weeks before the election. And if there's a big snowstorm on election day, you don't need to worry about it. Or, you know, whatever happens, you know, you don't need to worry about it. There's no lines, typically, and you can get done with.
some folks say, why do we want to pay for all these early? You know what? Because today's the perfect example. No,
exactly.
Early voting, no lines, and no 12 feet of snow.
Exactly. And just, you know, so people know, we're talking about election, and not everybody has an election today. So
no,
I just kind of want to run down. This is a primary consolidated election. Mm-hmm. So in some of these areas, it's actually going to be partisan. Some of them places, it's not partisan.
Right. And now in all of Elgin can vote.
All of Elgin can vote.
We're talking about the two-year seat for the city council.
Correct. And I was actually going to, in a second here, I'm going to go through the names of the people, just so people know who's on the ballot.
Do we have enough time for the rest of the show?
I think I can quickly go. I can talk really fast.
Okay.
And I also want to point out that it's Aurora. It has
Aurora,
a primary election
Aurora
today.
Aurora Townships.
And also, McHenry County has a bunch of townships that have primaries, and those are I believe partisan races. So mm-hmm. if you're people that they live in Ogunquin Township, and there are people that listen to the show in Ogunquin Township, they actually have a primary today. It's for township positions. And the odd thing about that, I know in Ogunquin, no Democrats filed in that race. So today is the day. So even if you're a Democrat and you want to vote for someone, you've got to do it today because there'll be no one else running against those people on the April 9th date. So that's
right. And when you have nine people running and a generally low consolidated turnout and the weather from hell, I mean, that's the kind of formula where even someone like Dave could get elected.
I think
so
Dave is
maybe even
honorable
you too,
man.
Alan.
I think he could get elected no matter what.
Yeah, maybe even you too, Alan. So you still need to get out and vote because we don't, you know, we have enough wackos as it is. We don't really want to encourage any more.
Sure.
Go ahead, read the names.
Well,
the
yeah, so we
folks
can move on from Elgin. We can cross it off our list.
Okay.
At least the election portion of it. I just wanted to quickly go through. There's nine people. So
right.
I'm just looking real quick on Daily Herald's website here. And the first one, I'm not listing them off in any order because I'm just going by what Daily Herald has, is Thomas McCarthy, and who that's Driver Tom. A lot of us know him. He's very outspoken, especially mm-hmm. about spending. There's the local hotel manager, Jason Dusenberry. I see a lot of his signs. Mm-hmm. The next one, I have a lot of respect for Chin, but I can't pronounce his name.
The longest name you see is his.
Yes, and I actually hear that the county clerk had some issues fitting his name on the ballot. So if they had to make everybody else's name smaller so they could use a smaller font, that's because of
right.
him. But Chin is a Laotian. He owns a business down here. Actually, he owns a business right across the street. I've been to his office before. There's Big Mike, Michael DeBrocky. Or I don't know if it's DeBrock or DeRocky, but he goes by Big Mike. Very good guy, very mm-hmm. passionate about the city. Daniel Schultz, only 21 years old. I think it's quite impressive that a young college student gets involved in the race for the two-year race
yeah, but,
for city council.
But I
next,
can't stand him because
– You any, can't stand him.
No, I can't stand him. For no other reason than for me to be able to say someone less than half my age is running aggravates the bleep out of me.
I think you sound jealous to me.
But continue, Alan.
Yeah. So he's running, and he's half Jeff's age. We'll rub that one right in.
Yeah.
Next one is a gentleman, Craig DeSang. I can remember meeting him, and he's in the first forum, he said he was from Oak Park like five or six times. And he also says that Elgin's property taxes are not too high. So I don't know how far that's going to go.
Yeah, well,
but Roy Chapman III,
yep.
he's another gentleman running, and he seems to be not quite so outspoken, even keeled. Toby Shaw, who's my favorite.
And he came on the show.
Yeah, he did come on the show. I forgot about that. And Larry Wegman. A lot of people know the Wegman dynasty here in Elgin. So
right.
he's also running. So that's all nine of these guys running.
Now, you know, if you need to take some oxygen after reading off that list, Dave has some in his drawer. So
Okay, I'll remember that.
Feel free to partake.
Well, you know, I also do want to congratulate them for putting their hats in the ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a big deal. There's a lot of people who just, you know, complain about things, but they don't do anything about it. And I heard an expression this week, or a phrase actually, that there's doers and there's screamers.
Yes.
And these guys are doers, and I, you know, if Dave was ready with the applause, I would give them a round of applause.
Right, I mean, and after today, there'll be two left. Now, but before we bring Rich Dunn on, and Rich, they're letting the folks out downtown early, so hopefully Rich will be calling in from the train. But, you know, last week when we talked to David Smith of the Illinois Family Institute, Dave Weiser actually had a really good question about, you know, what is the IFI doing to help, you know, current families? And David and I, we're fairly civil, but we did get, not Dave Weiser, David Smith and I got into an argument about statistics, divorce statistics, just briefly, because, you know, if I was wrong, I'd be the first to admit it. But you and I were a little closer, Alan, when we said the divorce rate's 50%. Actually, it's 41% for first marriages, 60 for second, and 73 for third. So, and what better proof do you need than Larry King? So David's assessment that that it was 25% for first-time marriages was incorrect. Also, you know, our divorce rate is sixth in the world behind Russia and their former republics, with the Cayman Islands thrown in there for good measure. God knows what's going on in the Cayman Islands. Maybe all that sun, you know, makes people cheat.
And, yeah, I don't know about the Cayman Islands, but, you know, it's a real small sample size down there.
And you know what the fascinating thing, though, is? Divorce, for the last decade, let's go back to 2000, divorce rates have gone up every year until the Great Recession hit and it was too expensive for people to get divorced.
I can believe that.
That is the only reason they've gone down. So, but yeah, I said, you and I said we thought the divorce rate for first-time marriages was 50%. It's actually 41%, which is closer to the norm.
I can see how second and thirds definitely drive it up because, you know, some with a poor track record, you know, they're not first-time losers already. You know, they're second and third-time offenders. So I can see how they could drive that average up and skew the results.
But it's still 41% of people that get married first time don't last. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's a real shame for our society. Some people did talk about no fault divorce laws, and I think that might be a contribute to that. But I'm not gonna point out as a policy position that's doing that. Where I think it's more a reflection on society.
And I've met your wife, as you know, Alan, and you better hang on to her because I don't see many people putting up with you. And the same thing goes for my wife. So,
yeah, unfortunately, neither of them are probably listening right now.
No. I know my wife isn't. She's tried to keep the dog quiet, so I actually sound halfway professional.
So, there we go. Well, you know, I kind of want to transition to more serious business.
Let's go.
Obviously, we've talked about the election today. We've talked about Elgin quite a bit, but let's talk about the specifics of Elgin policies. And right now we have Elgin Councilman Richard Dunn on the phone, and we're going to see if he's there. Can you hear us, Rich?
I sure can. How am I coming in?
Oh, boy.
Excellent.
You're coming in better than me.
Well, that's easy to do, Jeff.
Thank you for joining us, Rich, despite the various and sundry hardships you've had to face today.
Oh, it's no problem at all. This is all part of managing your life in the modern world of electronics that we have.
Yeah, and global warming and everything that it brings us. But, Rich, you know, one of the things that Alan and I have been joking about is more people are running for city council in Elgin than people that voted in the last consolidated election. Now, you and I talked a little bit about this, but would you enlighten the listeners as to why you think, you know, nine people are running for a two-year seat, and what is it, 16 more, not quite, running for, you know, the others? Why are so many people running, Rich?
I think part of it is because our certified census just came in over 100,000, and we have two open seats. And so people are running because they are not running against someone. They are running for an open seat. I think that encouraged some people to run. I also think it's because hopefully people are becoming involved more in their local politics, which is something that I think is really important because the majority of your tax dollars are spent locally. Far more of your tax dollars are spent locally than they are spent nationally.
Absolutely. Although when you and I talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, you also said that there were some folks that were unhappy with how Elgin, one of your theories was, some of these folks are unhappy with how Elgin is trying to balance the tax burden.
I think some people do perceive that the taxes in Elgin that are shipped off of, depending on property taxes and looking at other fees, is just a different form of taxation, and they actually feel that that is not good for the city. Obviously, I disagree with that. I think bringing us down from being at 192 to 58 after our five-year budget is a good policy because it's great to encourage businesses to come into the city. Once we bring more businesses into the city, I think we're going to have an issue with taxes. Right now, when you take a look at us compared to our comparables, most communities have 10% of the population being represented by businesses. Naperville, Des Plaines, Arlington Heights, you're talking 10% of their population. Only 5% of our population in the city of Elgin is represented by businesses. That's 5,000 businesses. We're 5,000 businesses short also because we have over 100,000 people. If we had to put 5,000 businesses in town, we'd be doing great. One of the biggest things that businesses look at is that property tax rate. And at 192 being the second highest only to Rockford out of our 28 comparables, and the mean and average were more in the 150s, I thought driving our property tax rate down into the 150s so that we can encourage businesses to come into town would be the best thing for the long-term health of the city. You have to remember that before we started this process, our property tax made up 48% of our general revenue
That's right.
funds, and that's extraordinarily high. It also put us in a very bad position when there's a downturn in the economy because your property tax drops so much.
Well, actually, Rich, actually the levy doesn't go down. So I just want to point out to our listeners that property tax, the levy is always going to be consistent. Whereas, you know, as someone that's involved in municipal politics like myself, you know, we saw a big drop in sales tax revenue. So if we were that diversified, you know, we actually would have been in a we would have been in bigger trouble because when the recession hit, people's spending went down. And the base of the property tax levy stayed the same. And, you know, it's because to the best or the bad, you know, the treasurer is still going to collect, the county treasurer is still going to collect no matter what the levy is. So that can, you know, that can be adjusted year to year, but that's always going to be the case. And, you know, even though the recession hit, people's property taxes didn't go down.
Well, actually, in the city of Elgin, we did lower our levy each year. And it's our rate we haven't lowered at all, but we did lower it because we did some pretty heavy cuts also before we even looked at taxes. You have to remember we reduced our workforce by 10%. We were down at the point where if we didn't look at changing our tax structure, that we would have had to start really cutting into public safety. And that was something that I just didn't feel was acceptable because our public safety does run at very low standards. When you look at the number of police officers and firefighters we have per 100, we are on the lower side, if not below the national average, but we still meet the national standards for times. So that's something that's very concerning that we have to watch and make sure that we still meet our standards and that we still are providing the service to the citizens, but doing it as efficiently as we can with our human resources.
Now, I wonder if the canary in the coal mine was that the casino provided so much revenue in the years past, in the decades past, and that Elgin kind of got used to, you know, a certain level of spending, a certain level of, you know, staffing, and when that money has, you know, has shrunk, I mean, some of it is the economy, some of it's the competition with the Splains, yeah. And some of it is just the state budget, you know, is spread very thin. You know, I wonder if that's a little bit of the canary in the coal mine, is that, you know, the casino allowed a certain level of spending, which, you know, normally wouldn't be justifiable. And then when that kind of shrunk back, then the city actually has additional pressure.
And that somewhat is true. And we started seeing it actually with the no smoking, which took about, I think the casino said it took about 8% right off the top when we went no smoking across the state, for driving that portion to either Wisconsin or Indiana. But the all three of our major revenue sources, riverboat gambling, sales tax, and property tax, all went down at the same time. And the majority of sales tax in the city of Elgin is based on the sale of automobiles, which
I'd like
to see diversified.
Oh, yeah. Urban Park
and
Road.
To Elgin's credit, that Randall Road corridor, look at all the retail establishments that weren't there 10 years ago. And, you know, that is a big asset to Elgin where they didn't have that before.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the retail on Randall Road is not in the city of Elgin. Anything south of the railroad tracks is in South Elgin. But we did pick up quite a bit of, not tons, not as much as I would like, up in the area of our Northwest Business Park. The other things that the city of Elgin is doing very well is looking at when we are diversifying our base, we're trying to bring it in user taxes, such as a liquor tax, and we are going to be working on our trash fee right now so that the fee will become much more user-based. We are up for negotiations for our contract with Waste Management. Waste Management is very willing to work with us on that, and I'm sure their competitors who are going to be bidding on the contract are going to be also very willing to work with us so we can get in some different fees so that people are paying for what they use. A senior citizen obviously generates a lot less trash than I do with three daughters at home, so obviously the fee should be different.
I mean, you ought to see what Alan generates.
I'm out of you.
but Rich, you know, when we talked, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Toby Shaw called in, John Prigge called in, and you know, and when we talk, when I talk with Elginites, you know, I mean, you guys did a great job aggregating electricity, but rates went up. We've got the garbage thing. We've got property taxes going down, as you said. The big question is, and nobody seems to be able to be able to come to a consensus on it, have Elgin taxes and fees gone up, or have they gone down, or maybe have they stayed the same?
I think right now that they are slightly up because, remember, it is a five-year budget. Before we get all the property tax reduction done, it will be over the five-year period. So the rate has not come down as far as it is going to come down. And we, as we have had some surpluses, we've been able to put some more surpluses towards the increased reduction. We still do have, as some people say, you know, oh, you had a $7 million surplus. And there is money that is residual in the accounts because some of us can remember back 18 years ago before the vote when the city of Elgin could not make payroll and literally had to go out and borrow money to pay our staff.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I would never criticize that. You know, there's a balance between having too much reserve and not having enough. You need to have enough reserve so you can make payroll every 2 weeks without, right, you know, without bonding it out. You know, a lot of municipalities, what they have to do is they have to bond this. And then there's, you know, and even though right now it's very inexpensive for someone or a municipality with good credit to get a bond, it's still an added cost to taxpayers. So having a small, reasonable surplus is not a bad thing because it, you know, just like a business is cash flow. And if a business could be profitable but have no cash flow, and then they have a hard time paying their bills.
Well,
and
Alan,
you can't accept that for a municipality.
The other thing we all have to worry about is, I don't think any of us really know when our next check's going to come from the state of Illinois. And when it does come from the state of Illinois, we really don't know whether it's going to cash.
Well, you know what? I'll give Mike Madigan a call tomorrow. But Rich, Alan, if I can shift gears here briefly before we have to move on to our break. In the past, Councilman Dunn has been, unlike so many other politicians, fairly accurate in his predictions of how Elgin area races would turn out. In fact, he called the mayor's race last time, despite the fact that really surprised me the way it turned out. So, Councilman, given these nine folks that are vying for, you know, two spots, we're going to get nine down to two on this blustery winter day. who do you think will prevail?
Do I need to read off the names again?
No, I know the names. I think really the big thing is as it is a blustery day, I think the big thing to remember is people should have done like I did and vote early because I voted last week. I cast my ballot, so that's very important. But I also want to agree with what you gentlemen were saying earlier is that I give credit to everyone who got to the race because there are those that are viewers and those that sit back and shout from the cheap seats. And all nine of these individuals came up and said we're doers, and that is something that is to their credit. I'm willing to cut it down to three that I would like to see move on. And Mike DeBrocky is a good candidate, Larry brings a very interesting perspective to things with his business background. I wish he would elaborate a little bit more on some of the questions he was asked. And Toby Shaw is... he ran 2 years ago. I encouraged him to run 2 years ago. I encouraged him to get on the finance committee, and I think that he's going to be a strong candidate also. And I think some of the other candidates, similar to Toby, need to say, hey, this was a great experience, and I want to try it again in a couple of years and see how their luck goes.
You know, I had the fortune to go to a forum a couple months ago, and I went to the forum this last Sunday here in Elgin, and to see most of these candidates, how much they improved over the last couple months. It was really good. Their grasp of the issues was much better. They are much more comfortable talking in front of people. At the first one, there was a couple of people that were really out of their element. And last Sunday, every single one of them seemed comfortable in their own skin. They could stand up to the pressures. They could, and I could see them making the hard decisions that need to be done.
And that's a good point. It's the first time out, it is tough. You don't know what questions are going to get asked, so you can't prepare completely for it. And it is a little bit nerve-wracking, and I give anyone who gets involved in the process credit for doing it.
Hey, Rich, I have a question. With a name like Dunn, are you any relations to George Dunn from President of Cook County Board of Commissioners?
Actually, my dad worked in the insurance industry in New York, from the insurance industry, and his family is from the same part of Ireland that my family is from, but that's about as close as we know as being related.
Gotcha.
George Dunn certainly is legendary in Illinois and Chicago politics.
Yes,
but we don't want to attach him to you, Rich.
No.
But his dad could sell insurance to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as we're done with this round, then, you know, it's your turn, and the rest of the gang's, you know, has to get up and do the forums and the whole shot. So we'll look
yep.
forward to
April
that.
April 9th.
Well.
So we're up against a break here, so we're probably going to be breaking. But we want to do thank you,
Rich.
Councilman Dunn, for calling in, especially on a kind of a horrible day. I'm glad you had cell reception. And, thank you for your service, and thank you for calling in, and we're going to go to break right now.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. Have a great day, everyone. Take care. Be safe.
As a small business owner, I've learned to rely on my vendors, not just for their supplies, but rather for their expertise they have in their field. When it came to providing healthcare solutions for my family and my staff, I needed a company I could trust. That's why I turned to Benefits Age, the employee benefits specialists. Benefits Age is an independent insurance brokerage that finds coverage for their clients' needs. They took the time to learn what was important to me and my staff and then put together a comprehensive wellness plan, including medical, dental, life, and disability coverage that met our needs. So if you're looking for someone you can trust with the well-being of your family and your staff, call Benefits Age at 800-317-0181. Once again, you can reach Benefits Age at 1-800-317-0181 or online at www.benefitsage.com. If you're anything like me, you get confused by Blu-ray, HD, CD, HD, DVD, USB, MP3. I mean, really, who knows what all these mean? Well, I'll tell you who. Failsafe Media Company does. These guys started out duplicating floppy disks back in 1983, and now are the leaders in electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution. So if you're looking for an expert who's been there every step of the way, contact Rollo of Failsafe Media at 800-537-1919 or visit him at www.failsafeinc.com. Remember, if you want your electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution done right, go to Failsafe. Did you know that by raising expectations, you can change the life of a child? That's exactly what Gigi's Playhouse, a Down Syndrome Awareness Center, strives to do. By helping all children and adults reach their highest potential, Gigi's is changing the way the world views Down Syndrome. All of the programs are free and educational in nature. Each of them are designed to work on specific skill development and are run by qualified volunteers. There are 9 Gigi's Playhouses around the nation, 5 in Chicagoland, 1 in New York, 1 in Atlanta, and 2 in Iowa. And more opening soon. On February 26, 2011, there will be a national gala event at each location on the same night. Please go to www.gigisplayhouse.org for more information and to get involved. In today's challenging business climate, payroll, benefits, and lost production are some of the largest expenses facing companies today. Fortunately, Interactive Health Solutions, with their preventive care programs, have a proven track record of reducing healthcare premiums while improving the overall health of your workforce, resulting in cost savings, increased productivity, and a healthier, happier employee. For more information, visit us at www.interactivehealthsolutions.com or by phone at 847-754-2698. Remember, Interactive Health Solutions is your path to a happier, healthier, and more productive employee.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Alan, are you there? I can't see you through the driving snow.
You know what? Personally, I love the snow, and actually want to go to a more personal experience with snow.
I always thought you were a communist. You're like my wife. She likes the snow. There's nothing to like about it, but go ahead.
Well, us people who believe in the free market, of course, believe in snow. Well, it's April personal
Well, without
story.
Snow, I'd be skiing
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, because it's so, free.
Yeah, that's right. Well, everyone talks about how hard it is to get around, and I know that some people, you know, are not comfortable with it and, you know, kind of sliding around, things like that. But, you know, to give our listeners a little perspective is I do that on weekends. And just this month, there's actually a full page. My car and myself is featured in Grassroots Motorsports magazine. So if you get to go to the, newsstand, basically at the back cover there.
A very good progressive magazine. Go on, Aaron.
There's a picture of my car and I race on frozen lakes in the wintertime. And so every weekend I'll go up into Wisconsin, race on these frozen lakes. So driving around the snowy sheets, streets of Elgin is nothing.
Well, so this is what conservatives do in their spare time. First, going to Wisconsin's bad enough, but but then frozen lakes.
Well, both Dave and Jeff, the sales tax is lower in Wisconsin. So, I remember joking around with Senator Rauschenberger a few years ago, saying every time I go up to go ice racing, I come home with a back seat full of beer.
What is the sales tax in Wisconsin?
Well, it is significantly lower. And
although their income tax, unless you're making around $20,000 a year, is actually higher than Illinois, even after we raised them.
But when you look at, especially like stuff like alcohol, it's something like 5 or 6%. Where here, it's over 10. This is just right after the state of Illinois passed the Capitol bill. I said I'm going to go buy my toothpaste and beer up there because that's what they did, is they raised sales taxes on that type of stuff, so they can fund overpriced roads to their contractor buddies.
Well, and as you know, I'm a runner, and I do not find the white stuff amusing because the indoor tracks require too many turns for a 54-year-old pair of hips. I may tomorrow – they do plow the path in our subdivision, which is nice, but if not, I may have to get the yak tracks out, which are like chains for your running shoes, and do that. But slipping and sliding while you're running is no fun.
Yeah, you could turn an ankle really easily that way. I can understand.
Especially with a lunatic Australian cattle dog that doesn't ever think I'm running quite fast enough.
You should try cross country skiing then.
Oh God. But in any event, moving on. So has our other guest appeared on the radar?
Dave is waving his hands all over the place. So I think we do have another guest that has called in, and I was going to introduce your blog and my Twitter
website.
So where can people find you, Jeff?
On the firstward.net, all spelled out. It is gaming. It is gaining speed.
You have gaming on your site. Now that's exciting.
Exactly. I figure if it's good enough for Elgin, it's good enough for me. The firstward.net, I actually still write full-length columns. I took on, once again, I think Republicans are blowing it in. I think they need to try to get rid of Chairman Pat Brady, but the way they're doing it is wrong. I've kind of waded into the mayoral race and love responding to politicians and trying to make folks laugh. And other than the Left, Right, and You fan page on Facebook, where can they find your stuff, Alan?
Well, I have my own website, www.alanskillicorn.com. So I post the show podcast on there. I know, Jeff, you put the podcast on your site. Mm-hmm. I know that some of my fans are a little don't like going to your site because, they might get called
because
funny
names and
things like that.
Because I tell the truth and it hurts their delicate sensitivities. Yes, I understand.
Well, here's the funny thing is that you say it with humor, but sometimes over, a literal, manner like a blog post or column, sometimes it's hard to feel the humor.
Well, I know. Paul Edwards didn't, you know, former, God bless Paul, former co-host of the show, didn't always see my humor either. So I understand that, you know.
Is that like feeling your pain, you guys? Is that what that's like?
You know, conservatives just don't have a sense of humor. That's part of the problem.
Well, like curse you for saying that.
They're just like the Taliban, you know? I mean, and so,
oh,
you know.
Here we go.
Yeah, don't get him started. And I also want to let listeners, you know, before people, you know, turn us off because, you know, the, you know, one of the co-hosts went nuts on us. I just want to let people know they can also find me on Twitter, you know, Alan
right.
Skillicorn. But I want to introduce our guest. So we have a guest, Julian, who's from Elgin Octave. And Julie, tell us a little bit about yourself and your kind of your background, how you got involved in this.
Well, I was born, and no, I'm just kidding. No, I've been in Elgin.
A small radio station in Bakersfield, California. No, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. I was born in a snowy land.
Yes.
No, I've been in Elgin about 20 plus years. You know, I've been kind of like I always say, I'm a bug to a bug zapper with politics because, you know, I just can't help myself. It's so pretty, and so I always get zapped. But I've been a precinct committee person for 8 years. I've been elected for 2 years. So I've been around the King County politics and Elgin politics for a long time. And I just joined Elgin Octave about a year ago, and we're really a grassroots group that wants to try and bring some fiscal accountability and transparency to the city council. And we don't think a lot of groups have really been focused locally, and I think we need a trend to go back to that. It's been, you know, a lot of people focusing nationally instead of locally. So that's what we try and do with Elgin Octave, is bring some attention to taxpayer spending and things like that. So
well,
I don't know what else you want to know.
Well, you're a rare case, man, because, you know, when Alan and I first met, one of the things we immediately agreed upon is, you know, I continually chide the Tea Party for focusing on, you know, President Blackenstein, when the reality is the school boards, city councils, townships dig far deeper into your pocket than the federal government ever will.
Oh, and, that's very true.
Mm-hmm. And the Tea Party, but yet, you know, precinct committee men are, it's if you, I don't know, I don't want to use the word control, but if you have some influence over local precinct committee men, you can work electoral wonders. And that yet the Tea Party will not make the effort to get precinct committee men elected.
No, I disagree with that, Jeff. I think that many of the Tea Party people, you know, there's been an evolution, Jeff, of the Tea Party people. You know, I think they went, we screamed at the Washington representatives, and that didn't work because, you know, all the backroom deals, the Cornhusker, mm-hmm. you know, deals and all that other stuff. And I think it's been an evolution of an entire group of people who were not necessarily politically active that became politically active and now are evolving. I think a lot of Tea Party people, you know, got up off the couch and are not going back, you know, to it, and they're getting involved in local politics. You know,
I fervently hope they do, because that's where you can make the most fiscal difference. But I haven't seen it.
I think they are. Well, I you know, then, you know, I got to ask you, Jeff, how many Tea Party people do you hang with?
Well, there's one I hang with every Tuesday around 3.
There you go.
And, you know, part of Dave's and my nuptials is having tea parties.
But,
you know, the whole gay marriage thing.
Earl Grey or,
Dave,
you know,
our producer. But, you know, I mean.
Yeah, Jeff is the Mad Hatter,
Is he Mad Hatter? Yeah.
You know, they do reach out to me occasionally, and, you know, but I still haven't seen, you know, building a political party takes a lot of work. I'm sorry?
Do you have to duck when they reach out to you, Jeff?
Well, there are. Yes, there. When I was at one particular rally, I was like, "It's a good thing nobody recognizes me from my picture." But this is the keys to the kingdom. You get the precinct committeeman, and it's ignored. It is a tough job. It takes a lot of work, but you need 10 signatures, and it's not that difficult to get elected.
You know, Jeff,
and there's an evolution in politics, though, too, I think, you know, with social media and everything else, and just with people being as busy as they are, because, you know, we're all running because, you know, what did you call him, Blackenstein?
To me, there, and Alan and I argue about this, you know, people were angry at Bill Clinton, people were angry at George W. Bush, but the level of vitriol leveled at this president, and we probably shouldn't get into this today, I think he's a conservative president.
Yes, I know, that would be opening a can of worms, and then I'd, you know, have to.
But the level of vitriol is just, doesn't quite match up with them. But
Come on, we can go back to Jefferson and Adams calling themselves really bad names too.
Oh, I know. But this one, he's not a socialist.
Come on.
Not even close. But Alan, I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Oh, no. And I don't want to. We talk about how it isn't that hard to run for PC committeeman, but people that don't know much about politics don't know these things that exist. And these people, I'm not going to fault someone for not being savvy about it, because, you know, the people that really run the show don't want other people to know about how easy it is to do this stuff.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, so that's some of the truth
absolutely.
To it.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Yeah. There's other ways to get involved. And actually, we're going to very quickly go. We have another call in. So just a very quick, but another way you can get involved locally. Dave, you want to go ahead with the caller? And do you want to quickly introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Lori Faith Gibson. I just wanted to update you guys on some of the live tweeting and different things we've been doing to cover the local elections to get more people involved this year.
Okay, and I know I do follow a couple of these. What Twitter address is this?
I'm personally using Elgin Spirit on Twitter, and we have two different hashtags. One is the # Elgin 2013 for all the election coverage, and the other one is # Elgin Gov for all the city council meetings that happened.
Okay. And I actually remember sitting in the council meeting 2 weeks ago seeing your tweets as we went, and I didn't see where you were coming from. I was quite curious, actually.
Yeah, the nice thing is, you know, with the city council, you can be there live in person or you can watch it live streaming online. So we actually have more people tweeting, watching the video online than actually sitting in the room, which is curious.
That's neat to hear. Are you hearing anything from the candidates or anything going on today with the election?
Absolutely. Actually, I had a couple of different candidates call me just to thank for the honest and fair coverage that was done on Sunday with the tweeting that we did. There was three of us live tweeting in the room, and quite a few people came up to us later to say that they were watching it on their phones. So that's encouraging. But yeah, it's kind of my opinion. You know, I voted this morning very early. I didn't early vote because I wanted to see what people had to say on Sunday. But I'm a little frightened because I was number 22 at the Gale Borden Library at 9 a.m. So I don't really know what the turnout's going to be, but maybe that's a game changer for somebody that didn't think they had much of a chance.
I think the conditions today have kept people home, which is a shame. But, you know, if someone is worried about, you know, getting into a car wreck or something, you know, I can definitely be, you know, empathetic towards that.
Yeah, especially if they plan on voting, you know, like later after work, and it wasn't going to happen today.
Yeah, that's why we always say vote early, you know, if you can. So.
Well, I am looking
vote
out
early,
the
vote off.
Yes.
I am looking out the window right now, and at least in Geneva, it is abating. So there might be hope yet. It looks like the plows might actually
be able to catch up
here.
So I thank you for your call. I'll be looking out for Elgin Spirit. I know I follow it, so it must be cool.
Well,
sure. And then we also have a community calendar up there on ElginSpirit.com. It covers all of the downtown Elgin and also the city events, and it also has all the Elgin election events on there. So if that's helpful to anybody, they're looking for the next forum, they can just click on that and then they can see where the forum is that's near them as well.
Great. So, thank you. Maybe you could put our podcast up there. That'd be a great idea.
Maybe. Talk business later.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I wanted to get back to, you know, the Jeff and Julie show. I mean, yep. Left, Right, and You.
Actually, Julie has dropped.
Oh, my goodness. So Jeff scared away.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she's still out there and she can give us a call back.
I have another question. Julie, call back. I have another question for her.
And, you know, one of the reasons she was going to call in is, you know, obviously she is a conservative. Mm-hmm. You talked about Pat Brady. She has an opinion on that. As I told my wife.
And I have a question. Is she socially conservative or fiscally conservative or both?
She's both.
Okay.
She's both. Okay. And, you know, I talked to her Sunday, and as I told my wife, she gnawed my ear off. About
I was wondering
Brady.
Why you're wearing the headphones
yes.
kind of halfway.
And so she's very passionate about, you know, Pat Brady's stance and, you know, what he's doing in the Republican Party and how he's kind of undermining it.
And the cool thing is she got involved, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, there's the bomb throwers and the people that actually try to enact change.
That's true. And she also was going to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what Elgin Octave is doing, Elgin Finances. And even though they're talking about lowering the tax levy, the overall tax burden has gone up quite a bit. You know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I was actually hoping Julie would have them. But, you know, something like
that. We have Julie back, by the way.
There she is. Julie, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I was kind of taking...
Did you hit that button? Did you no, cut Dave? Me off there, Jeff? Is yeah. that what it was?
Dave, actually, Jeff is not in the studio.
Yeah,
so.
Jeff, I'm remote in more ways than one.
He is Dave, in the bunker.
Than I thought, Jeff.
Julie, I apologize. When you get like three or more people on a phone, one person gets dropped, unfortunately, and then that was
okay,
you.
It was
I
me.
Thought I would put you on hold. I thought I had put you on hold, and apparently it did not take. So I apologize,
that's
Julie.
That's okay.
Dave, we're going to have to demote you again.
So, Julie, I was kind of taking your role there for a moment. I mentioned Pat Brady, but I kind of wanted to get to Elgin Active and about the overall tax burden here in Elgin. Has the overall tax burden under Dave Captain and this regime, has it gone up or down?
I'm not a tax expert here. We believe that it has gone up overall. We saw some people, especially on the Cook side of the
Julie,
scale.
Rich Dunn admitted it has gone up a little bit overall, but go ahead.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, revenue diversification is not positive or negative. It depends on how you do it. But one of the things we're concerned about and one of the things Elgin Active is working for is more transparency. Because as you diversify all these elements, you know, you got a liquor tax, you got a refuse tax, you got a leaf rakeout tax. Well, that's
and they
nice.
Now have a single mom tax. That, well, they yeah, raised, you know, they raised the gas tax 2 weeks ago. So now single moms who have to go to work now have to pay more at the pump.
Right.
Thank
and
you.
They're working on a rain tax. So, you know, go to stoptherraintax.org or ElginActive.org.
You have to prove you're a single mother to get the tax.
Well,
yeah,
think about it. But is there a more regressive tax than a gas sales tax?
No, any type of sales tax is an incredibly
regressive
especially
tax. Something that is a necessity. And who's hit the hardest?
And by the
it's
way,
the people who can't afford it.
By the way,
a
regressive tax is a tax that affects most the people who can afford it least. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. And when you see rises in fuel costs, they always precede, you know, bad mm-hmm. things. I mean, you're always going to see that because, you know, you're down to people choosing between food or fuel because they got to go to work or do whatever else they
have. It's sad. And Julie, can I ask you a question? And I've been dying to ask this one. Because I didn't make it into the studio today, I don't know if Dave ran the promo. But, you know, as Alan and I described, you're socially conservative and fiscally conservative.
I am fiscally
conservative and socially liberal. And
yes,
Alan,
I always call that an intellectual lobotomy, Jeff.
Well,
No,
it's actually called being a bit of a moderate. But, in the promo I wrote for the show, I said something to the effect of, isn't being a socially conservative woman a lot like being an anti-Semitic Jew? And
not at all.
But considering what Republicans...
I have a lot of hateful rabbis calling in, by the way, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, was that really a religiously bigoted remark there, Jeff, or what?
No, seriously. It's like...
Oh, sure. No, that comparison. No, not at all.
Not at all. And, I mean, my nickname in high school was Rabbi, though I'm not Jewish, so I feel like I have a little leeway.
Okay.
But it's you know, considering what people like Todd Akin, Richard Murdoch, to some degree Joe Walsh,
yes, let's pick the most crazy kind of statements coming out of people's mouths and then expand that and extrapolate
it
to every human being on the planet.
It belies a lot of true feelings. Explain how you can
not.
Republicans still consider women to be second-class citizens to a large
degree. Oh, that is insane. That's just a crazy thing. I'm a conservative woman and a Republican. I've been a Reagan Republican since 1980. That's ridiculous. You want a war on women? Let's talk about abortion on demand and everything else that's killing women off, you know, so it's a large population
I just
of women. Sex selection. No war on women there, Jeff.
I wanted you to I mean, I think that's a valid question that our listeners would want to know. It's like, you know, gay Republicans. It blows my mind that there are gay Republicans. So it's the same
why?
Kind of thing.
Can't they be open-minded about being, you know, economically and fiscally conservative?
It's kind of like,
are homosexuals,
you know,
homogeneous? Is that what you're telling me, Joe?
Well, I like that. Could I put that bumper sticker on my car? It's like the Groucho Marx theorem. And Alan knows this. I wouldn't want to be the member of a club that would have me. And, it's the same kind of thing.
He cracks himself up once again.
Why would I want to be a member?
Isn't
that from Manny Hall, by the way?
Part of a club that had you.
I wouldn't. Why would you want to be? Why would a gay person want to be the member of a group that really doesn't want them? You know,
because nobody's saying no one wants anybody. Jeff. I mean, I think we're mixing it up here a little bit. We're mixing up civilization type things with, you know. All sorts of things. Here.
Yeah, don't forget an openly gay campaign manager managed George W. Bush's 2004 re-election.
It doesn't matter. That's not the argument at all that's going on.
Yeah, he's campaigning for gay marriage right now, I think, in Massachusetts, or some other state.
Are we talking about...
I can't remember his name right now.
I forgot his name. Yes.
I know who you're talking about. But, Julie, to flip this around a little bit...
That's what the left does.
One thing you and I absolutely agree on is that Pat Brady has to go. But I think
Pat Brady has to go.
Oh, and by the way, listeners, Pat Brady, Illinois GOP chairman. But Pat Brady has to go because he can't win an election. Pat Brady has to go because he chose to be campaign chairman of one Republican over the other in the Kane County chair race. Pat Brady has to go because then he lost that race by 40 points.
Right. It's a thankless job, and it's voluntary and everything, but
right.
I don't disagree with you.
Pat Brady has to go because he doesn't understand that he's chairman 24-7, you can't speak as a private citizen, and that you can't undermine the very platform over which you're supposed to preside. But
oh, my gosh, we agree on that, Jeff.
I'm sorry?
I'm surprised to hear that.
We agree on that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Julie, did you say we do or don't?
Yeah, well, we agree that he can speak as a private citizen, but when he spoke in this case, and I don't care which platform plank you picked a plank, and you unilaterally and flagrantly disregarded your membership that democratically votes on that plank.
So, yeah, we agree.
You can't do that. Yeah,
so
we agree.
But so,
oh, my gosh.
With all with all that wonderful inertia to get rid of Pat Brady, what are Jim Oberweis and so many Republicans doing? Going after him for gay marriage, for flip-flopping on gay marriage.
No. They're not going after him for gay marriage. They're going after him. It happens to be that gay marriage is the subject of the plank that he went after, which is pro-family.
Well, yeah.
And the media does a wonderful job of communicating that. But I'll grant you that the Republicans are not great at it.
Alan and I are the media. Don't forget that.
By the way,
that's the most offensive and hurtful thing you've ever called me, Jeff.
By the way, I do have an update. It was
media.
Ken Melman. Ken Melman was the businessman behind the Bush campaign, but he didn't come out gay until after Bush was out of office.
So
he was hiding it.
Why didn't Republicans get rid of Pat Brady when he couldn't? I mean, in a state where delusional Democrats are driving us into the dumpster, how's that for a little alliteration?
Why didn't we
get rid of Pat Brady because he couldn't win a frickin' election?
Well, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you. Actually, I didn't say it on the radio on election night, because I was here at WRM on this show doing the election night coverage. But I don't think I said it then. But after the election, I did say that Pat Brady needs to go. And at the time, he sounded quite receptive. I think he made a statement saying if someone else is willing to step up, it would probably be someone else that meet his approval.
Well, Alan, this is
he was willing to.
We still have Greg Brady. He can go in.
You know, unfortunately, it is a thankless job. Really qualified people are not going to do it. I mean, it's not something that I want to jump into because it's basically being chief fundraiser, and you need to kind of be self-sufficient. There's no pay.
Well,
so I wouldn't be able to pay my mortgage.
Right, and let's not forget that Jim Oberweis and, Senator Oberweis and other people are being told by their membership that, this cannot be tolerated. And so you have a battle going on. But I think he has to go because you cannot be a chairman of the GOP and dictate. He's Chairman Brady. He's not Caesar Brady.
And that's the point. I agree 100% on that.
Yeah.
You know, and this has been my suggestion, and I actually wrote on this on Illinois Review a couple days ago, and so I'm being public about this. It's not something that I'm whispering or anything, is that I think that the Illinois Republican Party should have a kind of a special convention that we should democratically put it to a vote, so there's actually a roll call.
I agree.
Precinct committee. It would be delegates for the convention would actually decide if we keep Brady. Maybe delegates should decide if there's certain things we change about the platform. Let it be democratic.
And we do that every year, but we don't necessarily do that with the chairman.
I was the only one that was at the Illinois Republican convention of this group here, and probably of
you
our listeners.
You were the only one?
Yeah. Of this group here, probably our listeners.
What about Julie Schmidt for Illinois Republican?
Well, hold on. I was actually there, and
we
Pat
got two
Brady
minutes, guys.
Would not allow any floor debate. There were a couple different motions that were made in the floor, and it was clear that you could tell that the nays had it, yet, Chairman Brady still said the yays had it. And even though there was some kind of legal maneuvering going on, he basically wouldn't let any dissent happen. So, that was kind of my experience with Chairman Brady. I think that, he thinks he's doing the best he can about creating a unified party, but he's actually creating more dissent by not allowing the dissent to kind of speak.
Well, sure, and
Well, and a quick point is, you know, you only had one dissenter in the Senate as well. You had one Republican who went against all the other Republicans. So, you know, this is not a majority view. This is a minority review, and it needs to be taken
sure.
care of.
And we're kind of wrapping up here. We could have used another hour here.
But
people could track us down. It's thefirstward.net for Jeff's blog. And then my own, my own website is www.alanskillicorn.com. You can catch me on Twitter. You can catch the Left, Right, and You Facebook page. And, again, today is February 26, 2013.
Yeah, thanks to Rich Dunn for calling in, Julie Schmidt for calling in.
We have some great listeners. We have some great callers. And we have some exciting shows coming up in the future. Yes, that Jeff Ward guy from the Snowy Bunker.
Thank you for listening.
See you next Tuesday on Left, Right, and You.
Hi, this is Eric from PAC 154-2 from Carpentersville. You are listening to WRMN 1410 in Elgin, Illinois. The Scouts are the best. Yay!
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. The coalition military's report that Taliban attacks in Afghanistan dropped last year is wrong.
The coalition reported insurgent attacks fell 7% last year, but it now